All right, just we said, so the question on the floor is, what does it take to succeed at being a Jew? Let's see what the Pesukim say. We had a number of ideas. Let's see what the Pesukim say. Let's start. This is last week's parasha. Parasha's Kiseitse. Perek Kaf Gimel in Varam. Let's start with Pasuk Dalel. Who's going to say for us?
I'll read.
All right.
Lo yavo amini umoavi b'kal Hashem.
Translator, okay.
Ammoni, someone from the people of Ammon or Moab, are not allowed to come into the Kahal Hashem, the congregation of Hashem.
We don't accept converts from Ammon and Moab.
Even the 10th generation, Lo Yavo Lehem, shouldn't come to Kahal Hashem, shouldn't come into the congregation of Hashem.
So we're never allowed to accept a convert from the nation of Ammon and Moab. Let's continue. About 5 or 6 people to read.
Al-Davar Shelo Kidmu Etchem Belechem on the
because
they did not greet you with bread, ubamayim and water, but derech betzeitchem in Mitzrayim.
So when you left out, they didn't give you food.
Asher sachar alecha Bilam ben Peor, and they also rented.
They hired
Bilam ben Peor. Miftor ram naharayim v'kalecha.
To curse you.
To curse you.
Also not a good thing, right?
Right. Below ava Hashem alakecha Bishmoel Bilam. Hashem didn't
agree to listen to Bilam.
Vayachoch Hashem alakecha. Hashem turned the curse into a bracha. Ki ahevcha Hashem lekacha. Hashem loves you. The tidur shlomam v'tovatam kol yomecha. You shouldn't seek out their peace or anything good from them for eternity.
That's a stunning indictment. Let's continue.
Okay.
One or two more psukim.
Lo tishase v'adomi ki achicha.
Edom. That's that's the nation of Amalek, right? Esau of Amalek, right?
What is what does it mean?
It's family.
Well, you
shouldn't loathe or hate.
Lo titate Mitzrayim ki gera yitam. You shouldn't hate Mitzrayim because you were a resident in their country. Bane mashe yivaldu lahem dor shlishi yavol lahem mekal Hashem. And if they have, and their third generation can become converts.
So very, very fascinating. So the children of Amalek, they become converts, no problem. In fact, today there are descendants of Nazis or Hashemon who are from Jews, converted. But Ammon and Moab
never
land. Now, Rus was a Moabis, then we make a dig, a Moabi, but a Moabis. That was the dig that permitted Rus to become a convert. The women. Okay, so what was their crime?
Well, they had two crimes. They weren't very nice to us. No hachnasas orchem.
They had a lot of company. I just read it. I just finished an amazing book on anti-Semitism. Usually you read epitaphs on a period of history. This covers all Jewish history. I mean, it just... There's nobody out there. There's nobody out there, right? I mean, it's unreal. It's really, again, I always say, in the Shir, we always make the point that we live in an historical anachronism because the world is not like we experience it here in Wesley Hills. And historically, we get periods of respite in between pogroms. And I always quote Martin Gilbert, the Jewish historian. I'm sure you remember noting him. Martin's still very prolific. He just recently passed away. A Jewish guy, brilliant historian. He was the official biographer of Winston Churchill. So he writes in the introduction to his History of the Jews that really he was going to write all the history of Jews full of blood and friends. He was going to write, just talk about what the Jews really accomplished, how much they accomplished. And then he starts to write the book. He saw his page after page of murder. I mean, really, there's not a nice way to say it. Blood's dripping over all the pages. I mean, that's our history. So they weren't nice to us.
Well, yeah, but it's also, you know, the
but compare Amalek. I mean, if the arch enemy of the Jewish people is Amalek, right? I mean, historically, look what the Nazis did. The Nazis allowed to become a convert. Look what the Mitzrim did. They took our children. They put them in the book. I mean, it's hard even to talk about some of the things you read about, right?
But maybe there's a difference.
Explain the pshat here.
Maybe the difference is the physical destruction versus spiritual destruction with the
love and biggest locker was a cold. He wasn't, you know, it also was spiritual, right? Not the first nation they're trying to destroy spiritually, right? That's why by Purim they physically wanted to destroy us. By Hanukkah they just spiritually wanted to destroy us, right? That's why it's a different, we celebrate it differently, right? It's hard, Shat and Pesukim are not so simple. How do you understand the Pesukim, right? And there's so much. It's bizarre. There's no way to say it. So you look around on the flip side, except for you over here, is a Ramban. He brings Rashi. He brings his Ibn Ezra. Then he brings Zohar. I want to start with Vahanira. I have a little arrow pointing there. Mm-hmm. Let's read the Ramban.
It appears to me.
Oh, by the way, I just want to point out, Shia suggested, well, maybe they tried to destroy it. But you notice the Pasuk puts Ammon first. They have Ammoni and Moab. Mm-hmm. Now, Ammon didn't hire them, only Moab did.
Okay.
And Ammon is the greater culprit. Right? So if we're just about trying to destroy it spiritually, where does Ammon fit in? Does everyone know the history of Ammon and Moab, where they came from? Well, maybe it's worth a minute before we move on to review that. When Lot was Avram Avinu's nephew, right? When he separated, because his Rashi explains, the Midrash explains, you know, they used to go take the flocks into the field, and they weren't careful about where they grazed. They took out the went to other people's fields. Avram Avinu's shepherds were very upset about us. They had fights. They, at a certain point, they separated. So he went and settled near Sodom, right? He settled near Sodom. Eventually, he was one of the early battles recorded in history, the four kings against the five. He was taken as a captive, right? He was captured. It was probably because he was turned into a slave. Avraham Avinu went to war to save his life. He saved his life. He later on resettled near Sodom, right? After he was freed, he settled Sodom. And then the Kodesh Baruch Hu said he's going to destroy Sodom, and he made this, Kodesh Baruch Hu made this tremendous impacto. And you know, his wife was killed, she turned into a pillar of salt. He hid with his daughters in a cave. Some say there was coincidentally happened to be wine there. How that happened is that there are a number of Midrashim address it. They thought the world was ending, so they impregnated themselves from him, thinking that otherwise humanity wouldn't survive. And their children were named Ammon and Moab. Moab is really Moab from my father. Ammon was an innocuous name. Those are the forebears. That's the history of where Ammon and Moab came from. That's the Jewish tradition based on the Torah, right? Okay, let's leave Ramban.
La'nira elai, appears to me ki akasul hirchik shnei achim ha'elu.
The Torah pushed away. In other words, we cannot come close to these two peoples, two brothers.
Shahayu gemule chesed me'avram.
Because they received great kindness from Avram Avinu.
Shehitzil avihem v'imam min acher v'ashvi.
He saved their lives. He went to war to save their life.
U'v'zchuto shalat.
Shalom Hashem, Mitoch HaFecha. And it's when he was saved, he was saved because of Kadosh Baruch Hu. It was the schus of Avram Avinu. Hashem didn't perform the miracle of sending the Malachim to rescue him from stone before it was destroyed out of his own merit. That was the schus of Avram Avinu.
They were obligated, therefore, to do to act kindly towards Bnei Yisrael. And they acted.
They should have done good. Look, they did you a favor. Instead, they did wrong. What did they do? Echad
tzachar
lov tzachlem bilam ben par.
Vehem hamoavim. Ve'echad lo kidem otav v'lechem uv'mayim kasher. Kirvu lemula lemolo kamoshkatuv.
Okay, so that's the bottom line. All right. So the great crime of the century was what? What was the crime?
Lack of a karsa tov.
What?
Lack of a karsa tov.
So these guys killed us. They murdered. I mean, you know, again, I have found it over the years extremely difficult to talk about the stuff you read in the books on anti-Semitism. You know, and just, you know, it's nowadays, you know, look. You see what they did, Daniel Pearl, just because he was a Jew, but this is, you know, we got 2,000 years of this history. They didn't give us food to eat. Amon didn't give us food. That was the crime of the century. That's worse than anything else. So what's the pshat ever? Doesn't make any sense. Not only that, if you know your history, the Jews were in Mitzrayim. The Jews came out of Mitzrayim. That's when they needed this food. So they came out of Mitzrayim. How long were Mitzrayim? Some say 400 years, minimum of 210 years, right? Okay. Now we're going back to Avraham Avinu. Yaakov, when he showed up in Mitzrayim, was 139 years old, right? Okay. So now we're talking about 340 years. And the life of Yitzhak, I think he was 60 when he gave birth to Yaakov. So now we're up to 400 years. And Avraham Avinu lived to 175. I don't know exactly which point in his life. I don't remember he did it. So we're talking 500 years before. So it was a favor that I remember that happened to my great-great-great-great-grandfather 500 years back. That, right? That was in the points there in Shavuos, where he had a share in Shavuos on Rus. So 500 years back, I did you a favor. And you can't even run the rabbit the one I did yesterday. Right? What's he talking about? So you look at his rabbi and say, what in the world is he talking about? How do you understand Shabbat? And that is the requirement for being a Jew. That's why I began our discussion saying that what do you need for Christ? Because the proof is anyone else can become a Jew. You can be a murderer, you know, you can have all sorts of terrible things in life. We'll accept you. You're a Jew, we'll accept you as a Jew. But you didn't remember, I did 500 years ago to your great-great-great-great-great-Zayda, and you don't give me food when I'm hungry, and we survived anyways. Nobody died, it doesn't say there was anyone died or all that. No, you don't pass the test of being accepted as a Jew. That's a pretty astonishing idea. So what's how do you live Shantra? So I was thinking about that. What is Shantra? So it occurred, and actually the Mechutin who spoke, Kenny's Mechutin who spoke Shabbos, you know, when he had a bunch of talks, he actually touched on this idea. He didn't quite go into it, and we're going into it. But apparently, Hakaras HaTov is fundamental to being a Jew, and without it, you can't succeed. That's why we look. I thought it's worse. Of course, murderers are worse. Murderers are worse guy than anybody. I don't think anyone can argue that point. But if you not mock your Tov, you cannot succeed as being a Jew. Why is that? So really, that cuts to the chase. That really cuts to the heart of what it means to be a Jew. If you can't succeed without something, because I can't accept it. The reason we don't accept it is not just because of anger. I think it shows, and you can argue with me, certainly, but I think it shows that without that, you couldn't be a Jew. Because if you're being a Jew, why are you holding it against me? Let my children come in. Right? So the way I'm learning is that implies that this is a trait that without which we cannot accept you, because what are you going to do? You won't succeed. You can't be a Jew. Why is that?
So that goes back to Abraham, who clearly was welcoming of guests and reporter writing in. And Abraham did that because he wanted to be Selim Elokim.
What the reason? Abraham, you mean when he brought everybody? everyone in under Pantheistina. And certainly that's our job. No, we don't encourage converts because of our history. But the idea is, life is, you know, we said last week, it's all about spirituality. If you can become, become a better person, that's your key to success in life. But if you can't accept someone as being a Jew, it means he couldn't succeed. Why can't he succeed? So we touched on it last week. I mentioned to you that the Sefer Chinuch, when we learned, I mentioned it last week, I've used this a number of times because it's a good point of idea. He said, if a parent, you have to sort of read him carefully to see this in the Chinuch, but if you read it carefully, you discover a parent gives birth to a child and he never sees him again from the day of birth, the rest of his life, you owe an enormous amount of kavod. And you know, the kavod, a kibbut of yam, is the most difficult mitzvah in the Torah because there's almost no limit to what you do. Why is that? So he said, because he gave you an opportunity. And I explained it, because this world is all about an opportunity to become a spiritual being. Without that, there's nothing. Hakaras Hatov is how do you see the world? When you look at the world, what do you see? Different people. You know, we don't all see the same things, right? I know Rav Soloveitchik has a very fascinating essay in one of his works. I think it's in Halachic Man. Halachic looks at the river, he sees a mikveh. Yeah, somebody else sees a swimming pool, right? You know, what we see depends on our perspective, right? So a person has a Hakaras Hatov, he has a whole different way in the world. I am entitled to nothing, and I'm grateful for whatever I have. Because I'm grateful, my responsibilities are enormous. Without, you know, most of us, we look at life, we're very happy we get, but we're never satisfied because we didn't get what we really should be getting. To the extent that I remember the Chavos Lavos makes this point, you get a promotion, right? What's the first thought? Okay, how do I get up the next rank? Right? Next, first, you never spend a minute thinking, Baruch Hashem, look what just happened. All right, I just got a promotion. Baruch Hashem, look at that. You never spend a minute on that, right? What is that all about? Hakaras Hatov drives how you see the world. And everything you do, so your whole perspective changes. Married family. Okay. How do you look at your wife? And vice versa, of course. Right? Hakaras Hatov. If you really appreciate everything, so the relationship is completely different. Hey, Hakaras Hatov. You never do enough for me, you kids. That's the fundamental idea of you, because if you look at the world and you don't have a Hakaras Hatov, you never have enough. And if you have a Hakaras Hatov,
saying that the Hakaras Hatov is it's not genetically programmed into their...
See, that's right. And yeah, one of the things my Rebbe, as a Rebbe Baruch, always used to make the point, and you see from this Ramban also, this is not just, you know, I know it's not fashionable in scientific circles to say that character traits are transmitted, but you see many, many chazal like that. Many chazal, how we behave, the things we do, how we behave, the things we do, really drives the next generation too, and it's transmitted. So this fundamental idea, what you see from Ramban, is that you cannot succeed as a Jew without it, because you whole look at the world. You never. What do I do? It also it's a different world. You look at the world differently, which is very fascinating. Because this week's parsha, what's the first mitzvah of Bikurim, right? Okay, so a person works his head off. You know, there's no more difficult work than farming. Being a slave from morning to night. He finally gets some food. He comes out. What's the first thing he's got to do? He's got to give it away, right? So what's your attitude? Oh, you may, right? I got to give it away. But of course, the person looks at it's a different life. I'm so grateful. Whole different world. So I just thought it was absolutely fascinating that this idea of a Hakaras Hatov is not just a nice to have. We just let Seth to bring into that. We were discussing what is the primary requirement to be a Jew. So, you know, should we trip him up and make him try to give us an answer for he's just Star Trek, right?
Stand up on the barrel and start singing.
Yeah. So, you know, the last thing you would think, okay, being a murderer is not so nice. being full of hatred, not so nice. But the idea of a curse at all, that is its time. Yet, if you look at all the nations, who are the only nations that we can't accept the converts from? Ammon and Moab. And what do they do? They didn't have a curse, they didn't recognize the chesed that 500 years earlier, Avraham Avinu did to their great ancestor, they probably don't even remember. Right? Which is also another thing, you know. Most of us think we don't have to know my history. So you come to Shemayim, and a guy from Moab goes to the Shemayim, and he says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, I didn't learn history. I didn't even know that Avraham Avinu did that. So what's your tie to me? How come I couldn't become a Jew? Maybe that's the problem. You should be. Maybe you're right to know that. Right? Maybe you're right to know that. Who says you're not right? I thought this was stunning, actually, because it drives relationships, it drives how you look at the world. It's another really important point, too. In fact, usually we think about what's essential in life. Okay, keeping Shabbos, sneedling, there's a certain amount of halachas that are essential, right? This is not even halachas. You're not going to find this in the Shulchan Aruch. There's no section called that Karas of Tov. You know where you'll find this? You'll find this in the Musa Sfarim. In the Musa Sfarim, you'll find the concept of a Gerza. You're not going to find it otherwise. We'll try to bring you into the second.
Okay. Take your time.
We're just talking about the last point we just made was that whereas most people define Jews, look, I keep Shabbos and I eat kosher. What we see is that the fundamental requirement is when I look at the world, do I think I'm entitled to things or am I appreciative of what I got?
Isn't that concept just really more centered on Ammon and Moab? Because it's not a mitzvah asay. Hakaras Hatov is not a mitzvah asay, right?
So before you go further, I just want you to take a look at one of the Rashi we just on Pasuk. On Pasuk Ches, let's read it. Look at Pasuk Ches one more time, okay? We're just reading Pasuk Ches one more time. Lo sisai v'domi ki yachichahu. Lo sisai v'mitzri. Look at Rashi, Pasuk Ches.
Okay, Lo sisai v'domi l'gamre. Afal pisha roi l'cha.
No, the side of Mitri.
Oh, the side of Mitri, okay.
It's the last line on the right column.
Okay, say Mikol?
Mikol
v'chol.
You shouldn't completely disdain him.
Afa pisha zaka zichol reham.
You threw your little kids into the river. So, your friendly little, neighbor, right?
Ma'atam shayu lechom.
Ma'atam. So why are you supposed to not despise a Mitri who murdered your children? It's hard for me to talk about. You despise it. Because what does the Pasuk say? Ki ger ha'yisa ba'arzo. Rashi says,
they gave you a place to live.
Okay, so you come into Mitzrayim, and out of the goodness of their heart, they took his hand. Yosef saved their skins. They had the dream. He interprets the dream. He saves the skins, becomes prime minister. You think Power had a big choice about letting his family come in here? He was actually, because I'll say, he wanted Yosef to be permanent because he knew how much he needed him. So he brings the family down, right? So he sets them up in Goshen, and eventually they worry about them and they start killing them all. So they did us a favor. So because they did a favor, I have to forget about their murder. So curse the Torah, right? I have to forgive what they did because you did me a favor. It's true, you may not have been the best of intentions, but you certainly did me a favor. Despite everything that you did afterwards, I have to appreciate it. And therefore I can't treat you the same way I might have treated you otherwise. It's hard to stretch that idea beyond what we're already saying. Right? Pepper, reaction, thoughts. It
doesn't make sense.
So the takeaway of this is heaven, you know. So what really matters in Judaism, the most fundamental idea is not what we do, it's what we internalize. How you look at the world. Because that drives everything. You know, it's fascinating. What?
It almost sounds like a conservative Judaism approach.
Tell me. See, I would have thought the opposite. Tell me.
Be a good person. That's as important.
No, but don't you see they're missing that? Everyone said the Christians also Christians all say be good. Everybody says be good. But how do you be good is the question. There are things you need to do. You know, one of the key points of Yiddishkeit of the last 2,000 years was there's a whole program. You don't suddenly turn around and say, I appreciate the world. You sit down and you work on it. The idea that you can actually change how you look at the world, that's fundamental to Yiddishkeit. That's Judaism. I want to see how many conservative shuls have a Musa program where people sit down and say, okay, I'm going to become a better person and look at the world differently. Now, that's not just about because I get tested and stuck. That's a tremendous amount of hard work. I'm not saying, and you should know, there are some very good people who deserve it, some perhaps misguided. But the point is, because I appreciate the world, because the world differs, I have to keep Shabbos, I have to keep kosher. All the responsibilities that are so difficult in life become very easy if I owe it to you, right? If you do me a favor, you give me a job, and I'm desperate for a job, the work's going to be a lot easier than if I say, you're asking me to do things that I don't want to do, right? It's a whole different world. So, in fact, some of the portion say, the reason to keep it out of the aim, as we talked about earlier, is in the service of Dibros, because you have to appreciate, because we don't have to be here. It's hard to imagine existence without us, right? To be it. It's a different world. So, that's point one, Chevra. Thoughts, questions? Do you see the difference? You see this? I think it's a valid difference.
I see it, but if you look at Ammon and Moab, they didn't have the benefit of the Torah, and they're punished because they didn't express the Kodesh Torah.
Right, so you see, it's not just having Kodesh Torah is a human thing. You have to have it.
Exactly.
And without it, you can't. But that doesn't mean... But once you have it, okay, now you're sitting here, you have a parent who brought you into this world, and you're taking care of them. You've been a Kodesh Baruch who gave you opportunity to live, he gave you a parnosa, he gave you a family. Are you expressing that appropriately? Without that, you can't be a Jew. That's what you see from this.
But should it be? Does it go further to say that? Okay, you have to have a karas atov, but ultimately you have to have a karas atov to Kadosh Baruch Hu for all that it does.
That's really. I thought I had successfully made that point, and I didn't. Mm-hmm. So because without that, you look at the world and say, I don't have enough. But now you look at the world. Look what I have. Okay, what are my responsibilities as a result? That's where I thought I was going.
So mitzvah.
And what am I doing here? I'm not here to have a good time. Unfortunately, you hear that too often, right? You have a good time. And people told me that. I just had to have a good time. Of course, we know that's not the reason we're here. And having a good time is the last thing we should be worried about, right? So that's really the crux of it. All right, Heber. One other point. I did print out a couple of couple of pages in here. In Parshas, you see it's a different topic. I don't think I have enough for everybody, so maybe a couple people double up. I have two more. Okay, so are we good? Are we good? Let's read two psukim.
There's only two on the page. So.
Well, that's it. That's it. You're on. This is after the din of Ben Sora and Mara.
Chet mishpat maved, someone has been judged to have a death sentence. Ruhumat v'talita otor ala eitz.
The halach is when a person gets skila. Skila means they took him from something two stories up. Doesn't sound so high, so I don't know exactly. They used to toss the person down on his back. That's how the capital punishment skila was executed. And after the person was killed, when they took the body and hung it off of a tree or a wood, a piece of wood. There are different opinions in the Gemara and Eben, but so the body was hung almost as a display of capital punishment. So the the next pasuk continues.
Lo salim nivloso ala eit. Shouldn't leave his corpse on the tree. Ki kavur tikurenu bayomahu. Ki kilata.
He has to be buried that day. You're not allowed to leave him overnight on hanging.
Ki kilata lokim talor. Because those who curse Hashem are hell.
So what does that mean? It's a very cryptic phrase. It's a cryptic phrase there. What does it mean? Look at Rashi.
It's a
disparagement of the king.
Adam asoy bidmut diyukno.
A man is created in the image of God.
Yisrael heim benav,
and Israel are his children. And he gives a mashal, he gives an example. Well, it's very cryptic. We'll read the Rashi and then we'll discuss.
Mashal shnei achim tuumim.
Like two brothers. Let's say the example is, let's get two brothers.
Twin brothers. Shayu domim zelazeh. They look exactly like.
Identical twins, right? Identical twins.
Echad naaseh melech.
One became the king.
Echad nitpas l'listiyot.
One became a crook. And he was hung. They went their own ways.
Kol ha-ro'el
tal. So now you look at the guy hanging on the tree.
Omer ha-melech taloi.
So you look, looks like the king was hung, right?
Kol.
Okay, that's all we need.
Okay.
So, you know, what's the chat reach? What is Rashi telling us?
The simple meaning of it is that man is created in God's image, whatever that means. And if you're hanging someone, then you're saying, oh look, you know, that's how, you know, that could be Hashem.
Okay, so we're walking down the street, okay, and they just took a horrendous terrorist, a guy who was a mass murderer. They stole him. They hung his body, and went, oh, because his birth was on that tree. Right.
I don't think like that.
No, would I, right? What do you see when you see a human being? That's the point. We don't think like that. Because we don't see a human the way Rashi's talking about. Tell them to look him. There are people who used to tremendously fear hurting somebody's feelings. Tell them all again. That's what I mentioned earlier, right? The key is not locus in the Torah. What's the overarching principle of the Torah? Not the entrance examination, which we talked about. What's the principle of the Torah? So one says, after it, come also. I got to do to you like I do myself. No, it says, no, a more important principle. Tzelem Elokim. Also said, oh, it's your Tzelem Elokim. I see divinity. No, I don't see that. You don't see it either. But that, maybe that's what we should see. You don't look at a young human being that way. The whole point, you can't keep it. Tzelem Elokim up there. And you're not treating him properly. I mean, the Musa Svarma full of what the Tzelem Elokim means. I remember Moshe Tzeitzit from Brahma. He was one of my mentors when they were building yeshiva in the Sanhedrin, in Yerushalayim. So, you know, they had, it took 11 Arab laborers to get the brick from one side of the road to the other, to the building. One guy pick it up, he hands another guy, he puts some water on it. You know, so I used to complain to the Gablam, things are going so slowly. So the Gablam used to say to him, the contractor used to say to him, Malasot, what can I do? You know, I'm only human. And the Rebbe said, do you know what it means to be human? But he was a tremendous adherent of the Butka school of Musa, which we talked about last week. A human being has kaychas, and you see him on the tree. It's a different world, Chevy. So, you know, part of our problem is we live in a world that's demeaning, defacing, you look at somebody. It's not just you have to treat him. I see it someone like him. I see divinity. I gotta be careful. I gotta watch what I say. I'm gonna leave him on another tree. How am I gonna treat him? that idea of the kaychus of human is just unreal. Can you imagine looking down the street, my Faye, look, I still am like him. That's how they look at the human. You know, it's not just coincidence. They looked at the world. They internalized this view of the world, and we don't see that. You know, we are bombarded by ideas that diminish the human. One of the points I made, you know, I have this Pesach Haggadah that I years ago when the Chevra asked me to put together. So one of the points I quote is that someone quotes Richard Feynman, the famous physicist, who's a Jewish man. He says it's impossible that there's a God, because the vastness of the universe, 15 billion years, light years, it's too big a stage. And the point I made in that regard is, that's the whole point. This vastness is because you don't appreciate what humanity brings to the world. But the kochas you have, you can impact the world every time you do something. You can change the world. You impact the Shemayim. They look to the human. That kochas. If there's one thing you walk away from, I look at a person, I see it's someone killed. It's a whole different set of behavior. And the entire Slobodka school of Musu. But it's not, it was only a question of who focuses on what, how you develop it. But the idea that this is central to Judaism, that's a fundamental idea. Maybe next week is our last discussion before Rosh Hashanah. We'll talk about how do you internalize these ideas, right? It's not, understand, you know, people look to his talk, I'm inspired, and then you walk away with you did 10 minutes before, right? That's not what the shmoo should be. Shmoo should change the way you look at the world. You look at a world, things don't look the same to me anymore. You know, when someone does me a favor, I have to remember it. And now start thinking, all the good things you have in life, you start focusing. And you know, you probably pick this up in a psychology book, because we had it way before. But if I look at the world, look at all the things I have, and who are the people in the world, and what kochas we have, the world looks different from it never is, and we become different. It's really one of, certainly before Hashanah, one of the nice fundamental ideas to have. So next week we'll talk a little bit about tshuva and internalizing ideas. Questions, ever?
Does it say anywhere in here why people, there's so much anti-Semitism, and why people hate Jews?
We can have a talk about it. It does, not here, but
anywhere?
Yeah.
It's
yes, discussed, yeah. Okay. It's discussed. Not a pretty topic, right? But actually, this week's Parsha really addresses it.
The biggest source is that because of Amsterdam. People take offense to that.
Well, certainly the Goyim hate us for what we are. Remember, the Jew from the time of Rabbeinu, the iconoclast, we stick like, and look, and I've met some very fine Goyim. I have very close friends who are evangelicals, but understand what the Jew represents goes to the strikes at the heart of what the Goyim believes, and it's been there from time immemorial. Everything we do is we represent a tremendous threat. Of course, there have been very fine Goyim and this minority, but there's so much of society, and we represent the antithesis of what they're trying to do. So, I mean, that's the short answer. Obviously, it's a longer discussion. In fact, I think that's one of the things we talked about on Shmuel's night. All right, Kevin, let's break here.
I have a quick question. Sure. So, if we are in the image of God, how come the angels don't see that? Because don't they see more of the MS things that are true to more?
Sure they see.
They ask God, why did the Jews get the Torah? Because
we have the ability to sin and they don't. The ability to sin, because your image of God, you have that kaychus. Because if you misuse it, you take it in the wrong direction. You have tremendous kaychus. You don't have to be a great mom in Judaism. Look at the history of the world. Just the fact that we're still around, every door they're trying to kill us, and we're still around.
Right.
If you knew nothing about Judaism, you say there's something special going on. really need to know. You really don't have to know more than that. Basic human history tells the whole story. All right, let's break.